This episode for the Forest Fancast, supported by Boot Bags, unique and modern shoe bags, fashionable, durable, washable, online, bootbags.us.
Hey, this is Dan with NFFC NYC here in New York City. You're listening to the Nottingham Forest North America Fancast. Come on, you Reds! City ground, old mist rolling in from the trench. My desire is always to be here. Oh, city ground. He goes for goal and finds it! That is stunning from Joe Lollick! City ground, a mist rolling in from the trench. My desire is always to be here. Oh, city ground.
Welcome to the Forest North America Fancast.
All right, guys, let's get into it. It's here. Our last free Saturday of the year is gone, and it is season time. So we're going to be talking a lot for us today in expectation of a successful season for us this year, right? That's the goal?
Oh, amen.
Amen. Yeah. So let's first rip on my kid. It did come in 5 days from the team store, which is outstanding. That's good turnaround time for a team store.
That's speedy. Yeah,
can't wait to get them out the door.
Right? So, yeah.
No returns.
I got the kit. Let me tell you, it was highly anticipated. I've been waiting for this kit to hit my mailbox here in the States and in North Florida. It's awesome, man. It is the most hipster fitting kit I've ever worn in my life. It fits right in some areas, but the arms are so like tight in some areas. Jordan was saying I'm lifting weights, but I'm really just lifting pints. So it's here and I'm just going to wear it and we're going to deal with it. Let's not talk fashion anymore, right?
When you say your shirt is the most hipster shirt you've ever seen, I'm expecting it to have a cutout for your beard.
No, yeah, the hipster, that's definitely a hipster thing, the beard. But Jordan, you know what I'm talking about, those hipster pants. You know, Canadians wear them all the time, the real tight ones.
Yeah, I'd like to say I've engaged in that, but my legs are like tree trunks, so no chance of me fitting
them. It's hard to do it. It's hard to do it.
Stuart Pearce of the show.
That's super funny. So we wanted to kind of start this podcast off with kind of about who we are. We tried to say why we're around for and watching the team and supporting the team. But Jordan, if we can start with you, you're up in Toronto, and let's learn a little bit about what your daily activity is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from West Bridgford. I think we mentioned last time on the pod. Grew up basically about a 20-minute walk from the city ground as a kid, and moved to Toronto in February 2016. Originally, it was meant to be just for 3 months on secondment with work, and here I am coming up to 3.5 years later, still in Toronto. So by day, I'm a management consultant. So I specialize in healthcare, hence the move from the UK with working with the NHS, and have subsequently kind of moved into the hospital space over here. In Canada. So a lot of lessons learned from the UK and seeing a different perspective. But that's my kind of day-to-day job, which keeps me busy and enables me to travel around quite a bit. So seeing quite a bit of Canada over the past 3.5 years, which is really great. Main kind of involvement with Forest and the supporters groups is I kind of founded the Toronto Trickies fan club. So I think multiple people may have seen it through Twitter, Instagram, etc. We've got a core group of about 12 of us that fairly regularly watch games. We had a group of about 5 of us that really started things off and started meeting together. So I'll give Gareth, Anthony, Matt and James a bit of a shout out there for being the founding group for the Toronto Trickies. And then after the North America meetup in Chicago in April, I keep getting it wrong on all the other podcasts. It was definitely in April.
What podcast, you big kid?
The previous episodes.
Oh, I thought you meant other podcasts that you're on. I'm like, no. Two timing is, Corey.
I know. I think you might be.
Not like you two guys with your 6 podcasts each. So following the move in April, you know, myself and the guys at York, Chicago and LA have kind of voted then on the rebrand of the North America chapter of the Supporters Club. So I also kind of help out with that, although I'm much less involved than Dan, Andrew, Nigel and Carl. So yeah, I need to kind of pick up the slack on that bit. But I'll be plugging the NFFC North America Supporters Group on here. As part of that role as well. So I think that's a bit about me. Probably first Forest game as well might be an interesting one. So I think it was 1997 or 98 was my first game. Went with my granddad, who I later found out was a bit of a closet Derby fan, but just kind of allowed Forest fans in his house. So my uncle is on my mum's side. He's a Forest fan. So I think there was a bit of, we'll let the kids go to the local team. And it was either Villa or Leeds. I remember seeing both. And they were both draws. And I think the first goal I ever saw was Steve Stone equalising against Leeds in 98. I think that's the order. But yeah, I was still like 5 years old and don't have much memory back then. But
what about favourite player or players?
Oh, favourite player. So I'm really not that fortunate to have seen, you know, Collymore in his prime properly and remember him. Or Van Hooijdonk was like my favourite player back in the day, but I think it was more because of his name at that age rather than anything else. I was still a bit of a naive youngster and little whippersnapper back then. But I think one of my favourite players in recent times, I think Guediora in phase one of his Forest career is up there for me. Robbie Earnshaw was a particular favourite of mine, and Radimievski probably are my kind of three most recent, you know, real favourites. Although I've never really had a truly, truly favourite Forest player yet, so I'm hoping that comes through in the next few seasons.
Mark, you're packing and leaving and going to Austin.
Packing is going well. It's going slowly, but slow and steady wins a race, so we're going to get there. Yeah, it's interesting, it making me feel very, very old, Jordan, talking about players. But it's funny when you said Guediora in his first phase, it feels like just about every Forest player of the last 30 years, Michael Dawson in his first phase, Neil Webb, first phase, Gary Birtles in his first phase. Anyway, Andy Reid. Anyway, so yeah, I'm Mark Turner. I'm, as Corey mentioned, I'm heading to Austin. I presently live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and have done for the last 7 years. And then I was briefly elsewhere. And then prior to that, I was in Colorado again. So most of my time here in the States, I've been here since 2000, has been in the beautiful Centennial State. But I'm taking my life into my own hands and heading down to Central Texas. Austin is a fantastic city, so I'm really looking forward to that. Great people, great food. And I love Formula One, and they have the race down there, obviously, and I've been down there a couple of times. So looking forward to being a resident at COTA now. And they brought a USL team in this year. They're bringing in an MLS team in 2021. So it's definitely a hopping city, and I'm looking forward to it. As far as Forest is concerned, I'm actually a boy from Oxford, so I think maybe I mentioned this in episode one. Brian Clough was the allure for me. I was looking to buck the trend and get away from my mates who were all Man United and Liverpool fans. Saw Cloughy on TV, got stars in my eyes, and I'm very, very fortunate. I'm not a little older even than I am, because I may have ended up being a Derby fan. Oh, but thankfully, he was at Forest at the time. So yeah, became a tricky at that point and had to follow the team from afar. During my formative years. Funny story, actually. So the highlight for me going to Oxford games was obviously when Forest would come to town. And I remember being stood in the alleyway that led to the dressing room one particular year, and the Forest boys weren't there, and we were getting kind of nervous. And it was 10 minutes before kickoff, and all of a sudden the Forest players came through en masse, in a line, frog-marched by Cluffy. I guess under pain of death, not to stop, not to talk to anyone, not to sign anything, because again, it was 10 minutes before kickoff. And Gary Birtles, who at the time was in his second spell with Forest, was the last man in the line. And he was the only one to break rank and nip out and just kind of almost indecipherably scribble his signature on my program for me and ruffle my hair and give us a smile. So I appreciate Birtles for doing that. But love seeing Forest play at the old Manor Ground. In terms of favorite players, unlike you boys, Corey, who's a new Forest fan, and Jordan only goes back about 6 months, judging by his selections, mine are kind of broken up generationally. So as a kid, my favorite players were Robbo, who is arguably the greatest player ever to play for Nottingham Forest, John Robertson, and is arguably, because, you know, Ian Storymore was great, Baker was great. There's some great players down the years, but of players I saw, certainly John Robertson and Trevor Francis, a lot of glamour came with Francis being the first million-pound player. But really, my heyday years were the years of Brian Clough, and I love Neil Webb. I mentioned him earlier, and I absolutely love Neil Webb. Just thought he was so classy. He plays a position I play in centre mid, so definitely loved him to bits. And then recent times, actually Stuart Pearce as well, of the Neil Webb era. Psycho and Robbo, probably neck and neck for being my favourite. And then of recent times, Chrissy Cohen, just a Forest man through and through. So anyway, that's me.
I honestly, like you said, I do some other podcasts and media with our company. We're a beach lifestyle company that heavily reports on beach activities and things that go on at the beach. And my friends hate me because when they see me working, I'm at the beach and they're working in Houston and Atlanta and Jersey, and they just don't understand what I'm doing at the beach. But it's a great company, and we have a lot of different media angles within our company. So just have a heavy background in radio stations back in the FM days when you actually did have to play the records, and it's all digital now, but a lot of TV production and all of this has kind of led to a passion of just kind of putting things together and seeing how people react to it. Content is content. It's going to get listened to once, and if it's great, people are going to remember it. If it's not, they'll probably forget it, and hopefully the next episode is better. So,
well, you're certainly bailing us out, Corey. Like,
let's go.
I don't know my ass from my elbow when it's coming to radio production, and I just turn up and speak. So, for the guys that and the listeners out there, Corey is really what's holding us together.
That last episode, it was a dumpster fire in a train wreck. And I listened to it after you put it together, Corey. I was like, good God, how did you manage that? That is just alchemy.
I'm herding cats, guys. It's what it is. I'm herding the cats.
Who's your favorite player of the last 2 years?
The last 2 years, Joe Lally. Let's stay honest. I mean, I
fair enough.
And honestly, I think Stuart Pearce probably would have been mine had I been able to watch him more over here. Just kind of the attitudes and the hard-nosed players. And I don't know. I like Joe Lally, but that story is still to be written. As somebody tweeted out, the story is being written for Forest this year. There's a ton of signings that people are very excited about. So I went to Twitter because that's where you get the best information, right, Jordan?
Usually, yeah. Really reliable source of information.
So Twitter reaction for what's been cracking around the Forest. I'm going to read these Twitter handles out, and hopefully they're not offensive because I didn't really screen them very well. We've got @Nick_NAK86 says, welcome Rafa Mir. Welcome aboard the promotion train. Reaction.
Wow. Well, he's been on one promotion train before with Wolves a little bit, right? So yep. Let's hope he can replicate some of that magic in the championship for us. I still think we're a little bit short, if I'm really honest, in terms of the squad, but there's some days left in the transfer window. I think by the time we release this, we probably signed another two players. But yeah, like I think we're heading in the right direction. I think January is going to be important to see where we're at.
So I agree with the January. I think January will be our biggest transfer window, if you ask me, if we can kind of bring the hammer at that time. But another person, @D_Simmons_10, another decent signing by Forrest, Mira Graven, Lolly, Carvalho, Silva, Adama, are going to be a handful this season. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that certainly does make the mouth water, doesn't it? That is a pretty exciting attacking lineup in the championship, that's for sure. I'm not going to talk too much about Mia because I know we're going to come on to something here in just a few moments.
Sure.
And I'm going to hone in on the old man. But that is, I think the most exciting thing about that is not just the quality of the players, but it is the depth of the squad. And I think the coach is going to have the opportunity to really mix things up and change things around if on any given day things aren't working out for the team.
All right, Ash210397, there's absolutely no excuse for us to have an underwhelming season now. Lamouchi has been back to bring in players and they suit his style of play. If we do get a couple of defenders and another midfielder, we should at least be top six. Jordan?
Oh, wow. Well, that's our first Twitter handle without an underscore. I was feeling like I was being left out, not having a Twitter handle with an underscore from the previous two. Yeah, again, I think expectations are being ramped up. I can sense that as we kind of go through the tweets, and I think the rhetoric on Twitter is all about that. I really want to see how we get on in the first few games here. I'm being such a pessimist already, aren't I? So classic. But yeah, I think it's one where, you know, I think we're pushed to say we've got a top six team when we look at all the other strong teams in the championship. Definitely feel we'll be in the top half, and it becomes a lottery towards the end of the season. And just hope, you know, players are fit and the depth of squad is you know, of sufficient quality as we move forward.
All right, two more Twitter reactions, Mark. This one's for you. At the Bala 10, I believe in miracles. I believe in you.
We'll just leave that right there. And just, yeah. I like to imagine they're talking about me.
All right, and our last Twitter, maybe the best tweet, at RafaMir33, I'm very happy to sign with NFFC and defend the colors of a historic club in England. An ambitious project to continue growing as a footballer. I can't wait for the season to start. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah, sounds like he wrote that himself as well, that tweet. Really, really.
And I love that. I love the way that the European players have their phraseology. Like, there's no English player who would say, I'm going to defend the colors.
His appointed PR person wrote that. We all know this.
Yeah, no. He also has the same graphic designer as Bonatini from last year with these weird little, you know, forest Photoshop pics, good to have another striker. I think that was the big thing we were all worried about previously, and we're excited to see how he gets on, but provides some good competition for Graben for sure.
All right, well, we bounced around a little bit. We had a lot to talk about already, but today's show, we each handpicked a new player and did background checks on them. We'll give you some insight on the new additions, and you can pick your friends. You can pick your fixtures, but you can't pick your friends' fixtures, right, Mark?
Something like that, yeah.
It's prediction time, and NFFCNA, they have this awesome predictor thing going on, and Jordan's going to get into that with us. We did our first quarter picks, and we'll see who's been drinking the Kool-Aid. Actually, I've been drinking the Buffalo Trace whiskey, so my predictions in the first quarter are atrocious, probably. So projected starting 11 and our first ever stoppage time segment with Dan from NYC. All right, guys, let's get into it. So let's go over the last two matches, the two friendlies. Mark, you've got some notes on these.
Yeah, so obviously Forest were unlucky not to get a win at the Sociedad game. I watched the entire game and actually played really well. A lot of bright spots there. But I think we all have concerns about the defense. And, you know, the defense probably is a part of the team that takes the longest to gel. You know, if you get a single striker that gets a hot streak from day one, usually that individual can carry you until the other strikers get up to speed. But with defense operating so much as a unit, you know, you really are looking for four or five guys to pull together and to knit pretty quickly. Unfortunately, despite Forest taking the lead through the most unlikely source, Joe Worrell, with a striker's finish, and then carrying a 2-1 lead into the last 10 minutes after Lewis Graben scored Forest second, they weren't able to, unfortunately, to batten down the hatches and get the victory. Sociedad scoring late on to get a 2-2 draw. But that is nothing to be sniffed at. I think that shows, not only does it show progress in terms of the development of the team and our progress through preseason, it also, I think, underscores, you know, the game we had against Olympiacos that we were kind of complaining about and frustrated about and recognizing they were a couple of weeks ahead of us, but still getting stuff 3-0 was disappointing. You know, now we can see what difference a couple of weeks makes, and the team certainly looked much further along. So I'm going to put a pin in that for a second before we come to Lincoln and ask you boys what your thoughts were on the Sociedad game.
So I was working quite hard on Friday and missed most of it. What I will say is, really strong from them having a stream. Like, Sociedad website had a stream. I was like, oh, props to them. So yeah, a bit gutted I missed that. So yeah, don't have much to say. I watched the highlights. I like the look of our goals. And yeah, Worrell looked like a young Matty Mills coming in at the far post, nodding in a goal from defence in a corner. Glad we're scoring from set pieces now, because they used to be the only way we'd concede goals. So a couple of good positives. I think it's good to get more minutes out. But I think as we're starting to see a starting lineup starting to take shape, which we can discuss in a minute based on that game.
I got the stream information from Dan. He was in Italy and he sent me the stream information, and I just happened to turn it on exactly when a goal was scored. So I turned it off. I thought it was a positive stream at that point. And so I just was like, hey, it's going to be a great year, guys. Thanks, Dan. But I haven't really been able to watch too many of them just due to work. And I know
that's a good point about the lineup.
Yeah, and honestly, I'll be very happy when they stop doing the mass substitutions at halftime, because I can't keep up. That's a lot of people.
It's like a hockey line change, isn't it? It's like an ice hockey line change. But coming back to Jordan's earlier point, he's right. I mean, they fielded a very strong lineup. Murich in goal, Cash, Dawson, Worrell, Robinson, Watson, Semedo, Lolly, Silva, Adoma, and Graben, which at the time is just about, I think, on paper, we'd agree, the strongest lineup possible. You could argue now that Mia would add to that lineup. You could argue that maybe Appiah would be favored, or Amiobi might be favored over one or two of the guys in that starting lineup. But
Carvalho, I mean, when he's back from injury.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But obviously not available for this game, and maybe even for the start of the season. So still a very strong lineup. And again, I think that was reflected in the performance. So there was also a second friendly between last recording and this one, our final friendly of the preseason against Lincoln City, away at Lincoln, which I mentioned in the last episode I thought would be a tricky fixture, because that's a difficult place to go. Forest kind of threw us a curveball, though, and on the surface of it, I was a little bit ticked off. But then the more I thought about it, I actually thought it was pretty inspired by the coach, in that Forest basically fielded a second team. So very few of the guys that I just mentioned that started against Sociedad, not only did they not start in this game against Lincoln, they didn't even make an appearance. Luke Steele was in goal, and by all accounts was man of the match, had a fantastic display. And then the ne'er-do-wells, the guys who are on the fringes, got some time. Jason Cummings, Zach Clough, Daryl Murphy, Araibi. So I think maybe Walker got a run out. Actually, I wasn't sure if Walker had gone to Coventry by then. Walker was on the bench for Sociedad, but I think maybe he'd gone to Coventry by then. But anyway, that was really interesting. I think I'm not quite sure what Lamouchi was doing there. I'm not sure if he was protecting the players for the West Brom game because he didn't want any of his starters to get injured, or if he was legitimately looking at those guys who have been on the fringes to say, am I missing anything? Is there anybody out there who's going to go out there and just blow my socks off and put themselves into contention? And judging by a 1-1 result against Lincoln, with our goalkeeper being man of the match, probably not. Unless, you know, you look at a Poseidon Luke Steele against West Brom.
No, I think you're right either way. If it was a way of seeing if he's missed anybody, or if it was resting the first team that he has in mind, I think it was a great move either way. I think it was a shame for the fans that have bought a ticket in advance to miss out on some of the first teamers. But I really like Lincoln as a city, so I think it would be a great little away day for the fans. I think they probably would have had a good time. But
me too.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Bang on the head. I think with Corey, you probably don't know half those players. They've played for Forest for 3 years and hardly make the first team.
Look, I'm familiar.
Never heard about Ribby. Yeah.
Is he starting Saturday? I have no idea. I know I want Mo Adams back, right? I mean, that kid's playing well for Atlanta. So.
Yeah, exactly. You should explain that to some of our listeners that might not be in the US about Mo Adams' story.
Yeah, he plays for Atlanta now. He's from Nottingham.
Thanks for that. That's
really comprehensive story.
That's what you guys come here for, right? The in-depth inside football analysis.
I'm here to present. I'm also here to learn from you guys. I'm not going to lie about that.
So one other thing of note that happened between last recording and this was finally, after a bit seemingly dragging on the entire summer, finally, Forest and Sheffield United confirmed that Ben Osborne had made the short trip north and had become a Blade. Moving for an undisclosed fee, £3 million. Mm-hmm. How do you boys feel about this? I was waiting to see what the flare-up would be on Twitter, because I was expecting the same 50-50 split it appears we've had since Osborne broke into the team all those years ago. But in fact, it looked like in Twitter, people there was no one crying their eyes out, but people were being pretty nice about it, saying, you know what, you've been a great servant to the club. You weren't my favourite player, but you know, you always put in a shift. You did what was asked of you. Wish you all the best in the Premier League.
He got called up. You can't fault him for that. I mean, he did. He got called up, and to his credit, he was here for a long time, and he just came to work. And you need more players like that. If you had a team of 11 people that showed up to work every game, it's a pretty good deal.
No, I think same as that. He didn't. It was a good price for the team. And I think, you know, he never really had a position at Forest. And actually, you know, we can have more specialist players in those positions moving forward that could overall, you know, improve our team. So I think it was a win-win all round. Win for Ben, win for Sheffield United, and a win for Forest, or all three. So, yeah, thanks for his efforts. I think, you know, real servant for the club, played a lot of games for us, played probably 8 of the 11 positions on the field overall in his time here. And yeah, just really gave it his all. And you know what? He's really earned a bit of that experience in the Premier League. And, you know, we'll be interesting to see how his game progresses and moves forward. But looks like, you know, he scored on his debut for Sheffield United. We'll see if he can continue that form as he goes into the Premier League, and maybe I can put him in my fantasy team.
Yeah, fair play. I wish him all the best as well. Great servant to the club. Yeah. And somebody I always rated and was kind of surprised that people were just either vitriolic or apathetic about him. I just thought he was a decent player and certainly had Forest's best interests at heart. And like Corey said, always put in a shift. So fair play. Good luck, Ben.
All right, guys. Well, let's talk some new players. So far, what do we have? 6?
At least.
Yeah, there's at least 6. There's still time on the clock to get 7, a couple more.
7, I think.
7, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let's quickly count this so we get an accurate reading.
All right, yeah. So, Mark...
Is this who are you?
What's that?
Is this who are you? Is this what we do? You got to do the chant, Corey. Come on, we've got to help out here, Jordan. Who are you? Okay, here we go.
I got it. Okay.
It's difficult. Sorry, the words are
very transfer numbers once.
I don't want to wake up my dog right now. He's sleeping perfectly right now. He's leaving me alone. So Mark challenged us. We all picked a player, and we're going to do this as it rotates through the next couple of podcasts and go over the ones that we did pick up. Jordan, we're just going to put you on the spot. You picked up somebody you're very excited about. You there?
I'm doing transfers. One sec.
Are you Googling him right now?
So yeah, my first who are you is Thiago Silva. So I think we spoke about him in either the previous episode or episode 1 about having such a cool name for a Forest player, and we'll probably all get him on our shirts or jerseys at some point in the season. So yeah, I did a bit of research on him. So another one of our Portuguese wizards or Portugueses, naming this conglomerate of Portuguese players that are joining Forest at the moment as part of Jorge Mendes FC. So centre midfielder, Portuguese under 21 international, so joins us from Portugal, plays a centre midfield, has played, you know, quite a few times in the friendlies so far, and I think is definitely one of those players that we'd be looking to start and become a kind of member of our starting lineup every week. I see him as a bit of that, you know, player behind Carvalho in centre midfield. I think we'll probably have a bit of a staggered midfield this season where Silva, you know, can be a bit of that deeper lying playmaker, you know, good view on his set pieces so far in the friendlies. I think, you know, he's got rave reviews about being able to deliver a corner and, you know, with my... and with my extensive review of YouTube videos, I can back that up with his set piece delivery. Very good at picking a pass out, very skillful, and really excited to see what he does for us this season. Really,
he's the most photographic guy on the team too, I would imagine, right? Do you agree? Yeah. They've already got him on in practically everything. So, Mark, you want to run with yours? You did a lot of research on Murić.
Given that I'm packing up my house right now, my research extends back to about an hour. So yeah. So Mir, once it was announced that he was joining us on loan from Wolves, Forest fans asked him if it made frankincense to sign Mir.
I think we all heard that. We're just not laughing at it.
you better add in stadium laughter at some point. Anyway, so yes, Rafael Mir Vicente, who also has a fantastic name, 22-year-old from Murcia, Spain. Jordan mentioned earlier we're a little short up front. Not anymore. This lad's 6'3". He is going to pack a punch up there. He is the Spanish Daryl Murphy. I'm not sure if I'm doing Daryl Murphy a disservice there or doing Mir a disservice. But
I think you're doing Mir a massive disservice there.
But yeah, certainly like the look of this kid, the little I've seen on YouTube, although he's been with Wolves for a bit, he hasn't really made much in the way of appearances for them. And therefore hasn't really been able to notch up much in the way of a tally. But through his young career, he has spent some time at Barcelona, albeit primarily with the B team, with his hometown Murcia, with Valencia as well. Las Palmas, where he was on loan last season from Wolves in 30 appearances, he scored 7 goals. But again, a number of those appearances were off the bench. For the Spanish under 21 team, he's notched 5 goals in 10 appearances. So that is impressive, particularly when you consider that the Spanish under 21s just won the, it was the World Cup, right? The under 21s World Cup, or was it the European Championships? Either way, a stonking big piece of silverware. I can't remember which one it was now, but either way, he's been leading the line and scoring goals for fun for the Spanish under 21. So good, good technical player, strong in the air, well balanced. I like the fact he can come out on either foot. You know, I think he's going to struggle a little bit in a Premier League team, particularly his first season there. So I think getting back down to the Championship where, you know, he gets, and he's already mentioned in his first interview, he likes the hustle and bustle. He likes that, you know, in inverted commas, English style of game. It suits him. I'm excited to see what he can bring. And coming back to my earlier statement, it gives Lamouchi some options. You know, we're not just now looking at flat track bullies. We're not now just looking at kind of tricky wingers. We have a guy up there now who also kind of add a little muscle to the line as well. So yeah, excited to see what he does.
All right. Well, I think I got the fun one, guys. I got a Sammy Amiobi, and he is a center forward, and he was picked up from Bolton on a free transfer. He just looks like a bull in a china shop to me. He's got quite a few yellow cards last year. He had 12 goals, so he's kicking the ball up front pretty well and getting the ball home. So I'm excited to see him, for one, getting more yellow cards and being a force up front, not taking anybody's crap. Two, he's 6'4", so I can appreciate that. I'm 6'5". So seeing somebody up there just plugging away and beating it home, I'm excited about that. More importantly, I'm really excited to figure out how this guy is going to get to matches, because he seems like he has a problem driving from Newcastle to Nottingham. I don't know if anybody else knows about this. I think you guys do. Sammy escaped a driving ban, but was fined £750 for speeding after he claimed there were no trains to catch to his new club, Forest.
I thought he claimed he was racing trains.
That's possible. I don't know which train that is, but he was double the speed limit. He was 80 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone.
So close to going back in time. So close.
In his $190,000 Mercedes supercar last October. So we're hearing about this because he plays for us. I don't think anybody would care about this if he wasn't playing for us. So the comments are what stuck out to me, guys. And I noticed the small details. He regrets what he did. He said it was stupid and reckless. Being late for work is no excuse to speed. He says he really needs his car because of the nature of his job. Jordan, you need a car for your job?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, yep.
All right, we're on the same boat, Sammy. Don't use that. Strike it. Can't use that anymore. Yes, you need a car for work. Okay.
I feel like starting wearing Judge Judy here. What's going on?
I like that. I know. It's fine here.
But the comment was from Sammy to, I guess, the police maybe. We do a lot of work in the community, working with kids in hospitals and stuff. Yes. That's great, man. Stop speeding. Just get to work. And the funny thing is about this, Mark, is they said, he said there's no trains from Newcastle to Forest. And somebody reported that there are 39 trains per day going back and forth from Forest. So it's fake news, Sammy. Slow down.
Speedy Amiobi. Well, I hope he can run down the wing as fast as he drives his car. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But yeah. I like that. As a person that went to uni in Durham, which is the stop before Newcastle on the train, I can definitely confirm there are plenty of trains between the northeast of England and Nottingham.
The more important question, Corey, is, having seen Amiobi play a couple of times now, does he remind you of a young Kevin Campbell?
Yes, he does, Mark. Thank you for bringing that up.
Corey, for next week, I want a full rundown of Kevin Campbell's Forest career.
I'll do that. See, was he like the owner?
No. God, that's amazing.
All right. That segment was brought to you by Buffalo Trace Whiskey. And
I do want to give a shout out to Forest fans who stepped in to take a collection to support the boys across the Trent, Notts County, who we know clubs in a winding up order right now, desperate to get new owners. I think a Danish consortium have actually completed the purchase of Notts County from the shyster that is Alan Hardy, who basically left that team at Ish Creek without anything looking like a paddle.
This episode just got explicit from nowhere.
you can beep out that one, right?
Sure.
But seriously, it makes my blood boil. It really does. I actually have an affection for Notts County. You know, the oldest, we're the oldest professional, consistently professional club in the league. Obviously, that honor now goes to Forest, but I take no joy in that. I never had any animosity. I've never had any animosity in all the years I followed Forest toward Notts County. And they've always been a pretty well-run club. Yeah, they've had their mad moments, you know, the whole Sven-Goran Eriksson thing, and you know, we're going to be wheeling in big guns and Sol Campbell showing up and everything else, and a bit mental, but they're a good club by and large, and they don't deserve what they're having to go through right now, what they're being put through right now. So it made me smile. It made me very happy to see that the Forest fans were stepping up and helping out with that collection, and helping folks, you know, get their bills paid, get their mortgages covered, until the new owners are able to take over. So fair play to everybody who stuck their hand in the pocket and helped out.
No, classy act. No, I think that was really, really good.
Jordan, why don't you just give us a brief update for membership and let everybody know how they can join if they're tuning in for the first time?
Yeah, so for those that are yet to join the North America chapter of the Supporters Club, really encourage people to sign up as we start to get into the new season. We've actually just got 4 new sets of stickers printed. So there might be some extra stickers going around or special packs being developed for people to get hold of. The stickers look really great. We've got a new hashtag, Far Have I Travelled, to outline, you know, how far we are away from the UK. Get all the member benefits. I won't repeat them all as per the previous episodes. But really encourage people to sign up.
That's great. I hear that one of the prizes for signing up in the future is going to be a Kevin Campbell signed jersey. it's going to be pretty awesome because, I mean, he scored 46 goals for Arsenal. He played all over the place. He played, 12 years for Arsenal, and he was not the owner.
He was one of the managers, wasn't he? Wasn't he one of the 72 managers that Forest have had in the last 3 years?
Might have been, but he's 6'2", so I get you. He's a big boy.
Every episode's a learning curve for you, Corey. I love it.
Yeah, you'll have to remind me who he is again next episode. All right, Jordan, give us the predicted starting lineup for our first match of the season.
Yeah, so take into account the very scientific trawling of all our friendly games and various signings as we go through. And I think it's fairly clear we're going to play a 4-2-3-1 formation, at least for the first few games under Lamouchi. So I've kind of picked a 4-2-3-1 based on who's available and those kind of metrics. So first of all, I think Muric is going to be our starting goalkeeper. Pantilimon hasn't really played many games over pre-season, and while still, you know, sounds like he had a great game at Lincoln, I think we've kind of pigeonholed Muric into the starting position. And then I think as we go through defence right to left, I think it goes Cash, Milosevic, Dawson and Robinson. I think Cash is kind of looks to have got the nod ahead of Dariqua. A little bit of African Cup of Nations may have impacted that, but Cash looks to be the preferred right back as it stands at the moment. I think Milosevic is our best defender at the club, and then alongside him is a toss-up between Dawson and Worrell, but I think the experience may show for the West Brom game and first game. And then Robinson is our go-to left back. I don't think Ribeiro has demonstrated anything to replace him. You know, this might not be the team I would select if I was manager, but I think centre mid, we're going to go for Semedo and Watson. I think those two have been the regular starters in pre-season. And, you know, I'd personally have Jakob in there. I think he's a really, really excellent player, but I think that's where the manager's heading. And then in front of them, I've gone for Adoma, Silva and Lolly as the kind of 3 attacking midfielders. I think Amiobi will probably come on as a sub for one of those as we move forward, and Carvalho will naturally slot in there at some point throughout the season with Graben up top. So that's my thinking and prediction on the starting 11 for Saturday, and we'll see how right we are from there. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Sadly, I think I have to agree with you. It doesn't make for a very good podcast. I mean, there are a couple of things. I will say Matty Cash, I think he's wasted at right back. I think he's a fantastic midfielder. He's got an eye for goal. He's becoming the new Ben Osborne, and that's not a compliment. Yeah. But again, like Osborne, he's one of those players who'll play wherever the manager tells him. He wants to be in the starting lineup. If that's the only place he gets to start right now, which, looking at the talent we have further up the field, probably is, just because of this manager and the fact he brought in many of these guys. That's Cashy's lot right now. But I love Cashy, so glad to see him on the field one way or another. I don't think he's going to start Dawson over Worrell. I agree with you, it'll be Milosevic. And I think he's going to go with Worrell instead of Dawson. I just feel like there's enough of a difference in those two players. And I think Milosevic and Dawson maybe share too much of the same DNA. And I think he's going to want the young, harrying Worrell back there to support Milosevic and add a bit of steel to this center of defense there. Can't argue with you in any of the other positions. I think, like you, I'd find a space for Carvalho if he was fit. I think Amiobi needs to see some time and probably will. And I think Mir also might get a look in as well, depending on how Graben does. In fact, no, regardless of how Graben does. I think if Graben gets a hat trick, Mir still gets some time. If Graben sucks, Mir gets some time. And I hope he does. I want to see him in a Forest shirt as quickly as possible. We said earlier, we've got some options now, so let's get out there, let's mix it up, let's unsettle West Bromwich Albion and get those 3 points that I predicted.
I think having pressure on our upfront positions is going to be awesome this year. I think we have a lot of options up front. That's going to be exciting, and I'm really excited to see a different goalie. So having a Muric back there, I think, is going to be awesome. And I'm a Matty Cash fan as well, so I'm looking forward to see how that kind of progresses throughout the year. Really just ready to get the season going, guys. It's been tough. There's been a lot of these international continental friendlies going on, and it's cool to see your players running around the pitch, but it's time to start taking scores, and they matter.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the season to start.
You want to jump into predictions?
For sure. So firstly, shout out to Nigel, NFFC LA, for those on Twitter, who's kind of really developed the competition for all the NFFC North American members. So everyone that's signed up as a membership gets an entry into this.
Guys, do you want to just cover the predictions till our next recording? So we're not doing cup games, are we? Carabao Cup.
No.
Okay, so basically it's just West Brom and Leeds, because the 17th is Birmingham, and we'll probably have an episode out by then. Okay.
I won't sound like quite as a big a whack job if I don't read all these off in consecutive, whatever.
Welcome to the third hour of Forest Fancast.
Corey's to April, and Forest hasn't lost yet.
So we split the season up into quarters and the initial predictions, the first 11 games. And scoring is as follows, fairly simple. Were 5 points if you get the correct score and result. If you guess the correct result, i.e. win, lose, draw, you get 3 points. And there's no deductions for being wrong. And then there'll be a tie break in order of answers as that I'll kind of go through beyond the 11 games. So in terms of other rules, it's for league games only and stuff. It's for league games only, and the schedule might change based on cut runs, etc. Hopefully we actually have more of a cut run this year as we move forward, and there'll be some prizes for every quarter of the season, as well as then an end of season prize that the kind of NFFC NA organizing committee are just pulling together at the moment. So that's a quick rundown.
All right. So Mark, we'll start with you. You have the most experience of everybody here. Let's talk West Brom here.
Okay. So my prediction for the West Brom game is West Bromwich Albion 1. I'm going to sound like the guy on the radio here.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest 2.
Nice.
We're going to start with a home victory. I'm very confident. I don't think the team's quite where it needs to be yet. And I think when it comes to Lamouchi, I think the thing that's still up in the air a little bit is his tactical nous and his motivational skill. I think he has a good eye for players. I think he knows what he likes. And I think the players we're seeing right now are very skilled. And so I'm excited to see how he threads all that together. But we talked in the previous episode about his managerial record, and it's spotty. I mean, I think we're being generous to say it's spotty. So You know, he's learning his trade, and we'll see how he does in putting these boys together and getting them motivated when the chips are down. But I expect the chips to be up on Saturday. 2-1 Forest.
Jordan.
Nice. So for me, I had Forest 2, West Brom 2. Similar to last year's game, where we kind of ended in a bit of a stalemate. But yeah, I think for me, we're still getting going. I think the defences will be loose at both ends. Both teams have strong attacking lineups. West Brom have signed Romain Sawyers, who was our Achilles heel at Brentford last year as well. I think that's probably one of the signings of the season in the Championship. So yeah, I'm going for 2-2.
It's our third episode. I'm going 3-1. I just think it's going to be chaos.
Wow.
Yeah,
to Forest, so, I assume.
Forest, I assume. Yes, exactly. So 3-1 over West Brom. I'm just going to put it out there. I think Lolly will get 2 goals. It just feels like it.
Wow. If that happens on Saturday, all the Toronto Trickies I'm getting going to watch the game with at the pub will get around on me if we went 3-1.
All right. Second match of the year. We've got Leeds. Definitely going to be a hard one. I see a tough game here. I'm going with a 1-1 draw after an emotional first home game.
Okay.
So I hate doing this because I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I detest dirty Leeds. I would love nothing more than to stuff them into oblivion, particularly after what they did to Cluffy. Obviously not a guy to bear a grudge, but yeah, I would love nothing more than to beat them, particularly at their place. I just don't see it. I had to go dirty Leeds 2-1 over the Forest.
Oh, you didn't, did you? Oh, Mark.
Filthy. I feel dirty. I'm going to go get in the shower.
Bad. So I didn't go 7-3 like I think everyone would like based on the previous years. But I think Forest might do quite well on the road this year. I think teams will try and attack us when they're at home. And I think given our attacking lineup, we might be quite nifty on the counter-attack. So I've gone 2-1 Forest for Leeds away. I'm backing us to kind of have a draw first game, get through the West Brom game, and pick up a win on the road at Leeds, and just serve them right for charging an outrageous amount for away fans. It's £39 for a ticket. It's outrageous. So yeah, would really like us to do them over.
All right, so this is the first ever stoppage time on the Forest Fancast. We reached out to Dan from NYC, and he's going to give us an update on what's going on in the New York City area for NFFC fans.
And he scores! Oh, it tastes so good! Into stoppage time.
Hey, Dan here in New York. I'm joined by Carl. We're here for stoppage time at the end of Forest Fancast, the new podcast for Nottingham Forest in North America. We're going to just spend a few minutes telling you about what we do here in New York and what we get up to watching Forest and such like. So, Carl, as a member number one of NFFC NYC, how did it all start?
Hey, mate. So I came over in 2010, back and forth for a while, and soccer was on the rise at the back end of a 2010 World Cup. And there was a soccer bar just down the street in Brooklyn called Woodwork, Arsenal bar, bizarrely. But yeah, I used to go in there, have a few beers, and clearly flag that is Nottingham Forest, and you know, obviously loved asking the many Arsenal fans why they wear red and white, as to which very few of them actually knew that. So I took pride in sharing that. So yeah, they started putting a TV on for me as and when. I mean, you know, there was no iFollow back then, so we were on TV probably 3-4 times a year. When I moved over full time in 2011. Again, same kind of deal with Woodwork, but it was just turning into something else, really. And you know, didn't want to take up too many TVs for one bald, very handsome Englishman sat in the corner. So I'd moved into the city, into Manhattan, as you guys would call it, and just started watching the games again by myself in a bar called Smithfield Hall. And always used to have the crack with one of the owners, chap called Tom and Kieran actually, and they just said, you know, why don't you run it from here? So I started a Facebook page and some sort of social media presence started to roll out. Fortunately, I'm a designer for a living, so it's something I was very passionate about doing, and was just able to grow it, and you know, via Facebook. Obviously, you and I met, and it's just kind of grown from there, really. So we, you know, as you know, we watch the games at Smithfield Hall, 25th between 6th and 7th in Manhattan, and I mean, look, they've been amazing to us. You know, we are a very small outpost, as you know, and we're somewhat fighting for TVs against Man United supporter clubs, the Man United supporter club, the West Ham supporter club, the Bayern Munich supporter club, you know, the Barcelona supporter club. I mean, there have been times when those four have all been playing roughly at the same time, and you know, it's tough. But onwards and upwards. Last few years, particularly since you've been involved, you know, all the hard work that you're putting in via social media, and it's just been amazing. And you know, the as you know, we did the two meetups. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it down to Atlanta for the first one, but I just think since Chicago happened, we've just got something special in North America, and you know, just really looking forward to seeing how it unfolds and grows and develops.
So yeah, it's certainly kind of taking off, and I know a lot of people are starting to notice it across the US. So maybe for those who don't know some of the backstory, there's kind of different groups in different cities, and they've kind of got to know each other, I suppose, through social media and then through these meetups that started happening a few years ago with NFFC USA. And one thing that people notice that for the design work especially, I guess, you've kind of, you know, done some favors for some of the other groups. So there's kind of a bit of consistency across the US in terms of the design work. So if you don't like one of the logos, you probably won't like any of them. But in terms of New York, I suppose, it's a bit of a unique one, because all the other groups, Chicago especially, you know, they have 10, 20 people there who are all either expats or Forest fans who are local there. Whereas in New York, on a match day, there's a few of us regulars, but it's a transient city, right? And the group's pretty transient.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we have a mix of all sorts. So tell us a bit more about who turns up on match days and the characters you've met.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's funny. I think some people think it's bigger than what it is, and you know, people have reached out to us on social media and said, you know, I'm thinking about coming to a game, but I might be 10 minutes late. Do you think you'll be able to save me a seat? I'm like, yeah, I think you'll be okay. Sometimes there's two, sometimes there's 22. And you know, I used to work across the street from Smithfield Hall, bizarrely. That just happened to pan out by sheer luck. But I've always been, you know, I've always been really open and forward, you know, with anyone who comes through the door. You know, I go over. I mean, obviously they need to interact with us first or be wearing a Forest shirt. I don't literally speak to every single random person that comes in, but I try to make everyone feel as welcome as possible. Love finding out, you know, where they're from. And it's funny, you get chatting and, oh, do you know such and such? Do you know such and such? Oh my God, I went to school with that person. Like, it's been really, really interesting. And just like, you know, I know I say it a lot, but just every single person that's come through the door, like, they're just solid, solid people. And whilst we all come from different walks of life, you know, we have this one thing, this one love in common, which is Nottingham Forest. And just met some amazing people. And that's one of the most enjoyable things about all the hard work that we put in. Unfortunately, you know, we may only see this person one time, or, you know, they might come back to New York. So that kind of it sucks a little bit, but you know, it's just growing that community and everyone keeping in touch online. I mean, I went back to England last year, went to Middlesbrough away, and you know, I'm walking on down the concourse and I hear a big call, and I turn around and one of the guys that had come in goes by the name of Soss, and Soss recognized me and, you know, gave me a hug, bought me a pint. And it's just good to know that in the dark world of the internet, you know, there's actually a really, really positive place And all we've had since starting this thing is constant like love and support and encouragement. And you know, in 2019, I do think, particularly on social media, sometimes that's difficult to find. But I think we're doing something right. So again, as I said before, just onwards and upwards, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess there's two sides to it, right? Because there's certainly that side that you talk about, which is both of us being expats out here. And, you know, there's quite a few of us now who have bumped into each other. It's quite nice to have that link back home, because obviously we follow Forest and everything from a distance. But having people come over, you know, discussing what's going off back at home and knowing people and what's happening in the city, it kind of keeps that homesickness a bit further away, certainly. But then there's the other side to it, right, which is there are people over here in New York who are Forest fans who aren't from Nottingham or aren't from the UK who have come across as one way or another. They followed, maybe their parents were fans, maybe they went to university or college over there, maybe they just saw a game on TV, and it's kind of giving them an insight into the world of what it's like back home. But also for us, it's kind of cool that, you know, people have got, you know, we've got the connection from our home city. We didn't go out our way to become Forest fans. It just kind of happened. But for them, they're putting like energy and effort in, and it's great to see that as well. But talking of Forest, which I guess we're here for, maybe just a question to wrap things up for you. So I know the guys on the main fan cast have talked quite at length about, you know, pre-season, everything else, but broadly we'll be back down at Smithfield this season. We'll be watching the games. What are you kind of hoping for this season? What do you think Forest will do? Any of the signings that catch your eye? What's your general impression going into the new season?
I mean, you know, as always, I think it's 20 odd years now, the top six, mate. top six, what can we say? Top six. Ask me again on Boxing Day. Ask me again after Christmas. We're forever, all of us, you know, we are forever optimists. I'm just quite passionate about Portuguese football. I'm just really inspired that, you know, we got these two lads come in from Benfica, and I think their, you know, their particular style of play is quite exciting. So again, it's just I'm really excited to see what they can do, and same old. I'm talking about this now. I can feel it. I start getting really excited. Hopefully, you know, the new goalie that we've brought in on loan from Man City, you know, that's really exciting. It's just good to see a bit of depth at various positions. So, you know, when, you know, hopefully not this season, but, you know, as always, the inevitable injuries that come in and the people that are stepping up, normally around, you know, 70% to the predecessor, so to speak. So same old in a very, very positive way. Would love to be up there for the playoffs, but just, you know, listening to the podcast and particularly how Jordan was speaking, you know, I think this side of Christmas will tell. Then there's always that Christmas break, and then, you know, have we got the legs to keep it going? But all in all,
all right. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for your time. And it looks like we've got to the end of stoppage time. Final whistle's about to go. So we'll hand back to Corey and the team. And hopefully we'll hear from some of the other chapters in the coming episodes.
That's Dan and Carl from New York Supporters Club. They are fantastic blokes. I've had the chance of going there a couple of times now to watch a game in New York, given the proximity to Toronto. Really encourage fans, if they're ever in New York, to pop over to Smithfield Hall and meet up with the guys there. And they both support me with the NFFC North America planning. I think I'm supporting them more than they're supporting me. But you know, great, great guys, real big Forest fans, and wish Dan all the luck with his ongoing Forest shirt collection.
That's really great. Hey, and we do want to let you guys know that we're not going to constantly tell you to smash subscribe buttons and give us likes and all that stuff. But if you're listening and you kind of like what we're doing, give us a review. Even if it's a bad one, we want to know where we're at. So go hit us on iTunes and show your support for us. We want to do this for you guys. We're not doing it for ourselves. So let us know where we can improve, or let us know what we're talking too much about, right? And before we leave, we do want to send a huge shout out to Benji Neal. It seems like he's been going through a lot. A lot of us have been following him on Twitter. Quite the year for him, for sure. It's been 89 days since his second leg was amputated, 13 days since he got his prosthetic leg. He's had over 350 hours of rehab and physio, and he's moments away from walking into City Ground on his two new legs, and he didn't need any sticks to walk around today. So his hashtag is impossible is nothing, and my God, I agree with that.
Yeah. Thoroughly deserve your day out. Really inspirational story, and props to you, Benji. Have a fantastic day Saturday.
So anyways, let's get to the season, guys. I'm excited. I know you guys are excited, and there's only one way that we can finish this podcast.
U-Reds!
That's right. Come on, U-Reds!
Get it done, boys. Come on, Forrest.